The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Preparing the Ruins, the 2015 Annual Conference Recordings, copyright 2015. If you have purchased this recording, you may make additional copies for use by your school. You may not sell copies of the recording, nor post it on the Internet. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at www.accsedu.org.
Thank y'all for being here. You are in the phonics class. I don't think we've had anything like this the whole workshop, but this is called Phonics on Life Support. So we're going to show you some ideas. We brought a lot of stuff with us to show you and just hopefully give you guys some ideas, things that you can build on, things you can take back with you and use what we have. And hopefully just kind of have some fun. We're going to lighten up just a little bit here. My name is Kim Thomas. This is Terry Jansen. Terry and I teach kindergarten together. We have one class of usually around 24 to 28 students. We divide them right down the middle. She takes half and I take half. So we're good friends. We're wonderful colleagues together. We have a lot of fun together. So keep coming, guys. We've got a few more people coming in. Yes, thank you. There is one page in our packets that did not get copied off, and it's actually it's the trivium, kind of an important one. So this comes off of our website from Grace Academy, but it's the stages of classical education, and everything that Terry and I do and what we do in kindergarten is in that Polparrot beginning grammar stage, and some people aren't familiar with it. So we went ahead and copied that off for you. We wanted you to have a copy of that so you can kind of see the elements of our phonics program, how it fits into the Polparrot stage, and how you want it to fit into what you're doing too as far as the trivium goes. So come on in. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Terry, would you pray for us?
Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to get together as educators and just feed off of one another, get new ideas, share old ideas. Father, we love you and we praise you for the opportunity to get to work with these young children and minister to them, but then likewise get ministered to through them. Father, I pray that you bless our time together at this conference today. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, I got to see how many kindergarten teachers here today. Whoop, whoop. All right. Give us that first grade. Oh, we got a lot of first grade teachers. Second grade? Wow. A lot of second grade teachers. How many of you teach rhetoric? No, I love it. Y'all are welcome. But sometimes rhetoric teachers and grammar teachers don't really connect. So we didn't think we'd have a lot anyhow, but I thought I would ask because it's always just kind of fun to see. So welcome all of y'all from Texas, all of y'all. Oh, yeah, administrator. We have one headmaster, administrators, yeah. Good, welcome. I'm so glad y'all are here. All right, so let's get started. I know that we're running a little bit short on time, and Terry and I are going to go through this rather quickly. We will have time for questions, but we brought stuff to show you, and we have some giveaways. Did you all get a ticket? Did we run out of tickets? They're gone. Okay. Well, we just weren't sure how many people we were going to have, but we were hoping that we had enough for... Yeah. We know we didn't think anybody would come. But I'm glad y'all are here anyhow. Okay, so let's look at this. So introduction, if you look at our outline, the first thing that I think of is, why are we teaching phonics? Why do we teach reading? How many of you have ever had a student ask you that? Why do I have to learn this? Yes, I have two. And there's obvious reasons for why we teach reading. But I've got two really good scripture references for you. And this is good also for your parents, because they also have reasons for why they want us to be teaching their kids how to read and read well. But we know that there is one reason why we are supposed to be teaching phonics. Jeremiah 30, verse 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book." So God speaks to us through his word. I've got another one, Revelation 1,
Verse 3. And this one I have hanging in my classroom. And I have a picture, a collage of children reading. It's really, really sweet. It says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." So those are two good scriptures on reading, writing, listening to God's word. So write those down if you don't have them. Okay, basic curriculum. We have a curriculum that has pulled together different components. Eric was asking me, do you do just one curriculum? Not really. So we pulled together different elements. What we use is visual, and I'm sure you do too. You have a visual component to your phonics. And we can go through a couple of these things at a time, but we have a lot of colored cards and puzzles, books that all have the first 26 phonograms on them. And after we go through and we teach the first 26 phonograms, we go right into short vowels. And we have a variety of things that we use just to teach short vowels. My favorite transition into short vowels is this book here. The War Between the Vowels and the Consonants. Are any of you using this one? It's on your handout. And this is great for teaching students to combine the consonant sounds with short vowels. We're only on short vowels at this point. But this is also good for, they love the story. But it's a good, what we combine our consonants and our short vowels. Then we go into long vowels. So we'll teach the children how to use a long vowel in a word, and then we put it all together. And when we put the components of our phonics all together, we use dictation. How many of you use dictation? Okay. My favorite book for dictation, Victory Drill. So I don't know if any of you have used this, yes, in your program, but it's excellent. I use it for speed reading for the kids, and we use it for, I see a lot of people nodding. It'll be up here, too, if you need that, or you just want to take a look at that. Okay, Terry, you want to go through the prepare stage? And that, did she just bring that in, the handout? Not yet. Okay, we'll show that to you.
Just to preface, your outline that's in your program, we're going to be running through that relatively quickly because there's a lot of things we want to show you, and I always like to walk away from seminars with stuff. Not necessarily tangible, but at least in my brain that I can use and take home with me and utilize in the classroom. So that's really the part we're going to get to. And a lot of the things that you're going to hear us talk about are things you may already know, but we want to cover them just in case. So, about the pull parrot stage, that's obviously the stage of the children that we are working with as kindergarten and first and second grade teachers. That's where the children are working. They're very interactive learners. So they're excited about learning. That's my favorite thing about teaching kindergarten. I've taught first and second grade as well. As a center, I do wrong, but in my kindergartner's eyes, I can't do anything wrong. I could show up in my pajamas, and they're like, yeah, that's normal. So anyway, so they're excited about learning. They enjoy games and stories. They like projects. They like songs. So obviously, we're going to give you some ideas of how to incorporate those types of things into your classroom to supplement what you're already doing. Keeping in mind, of course, they have a very short attention span at this age as well. So when Kim was saying that sometimes logic and rhetoric teachers and grammar teachers, they don't necessarily know how to interact with one another. I know I could not go into a rhetoric classroom and teach. Well, I mean, they might think it was kind of fun. They'd laugh at me. But we'd bring our stuff. But you've got to constantly at this stage be ready to move on to the next thing because they're ready to move on to the next thing. And so you need to be on your toes at all times, lots of energy. They want to touch, taste, feel, smell. They want to use all of their senses. They want to interact. They don't want somebody standing behind a podium. They want you out, and they want you on the floor with them. And so I'm a believer that learning, I mean, I know you all are, as teachers, learning is supposed to be fun, even in a classical environment. This is a professional environment, and they are obedient, and they are self-disciplined, but it's still fun. We want them to continue to love learning past kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. And they're imaginative. They're creative. So that's kind of where we're functioning from at this point. So from there, I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about classroom setup. As far as teaching backgrounds, maybe you guys have various teaching backgrounds as well, but I've taught in public school, I've taught in private school, and Christian school and classical school as well.
And I love how God uses previous experience to kind of model you into what he wants you to become as a teacher, as an educator, as a parent, as whatever it is that you happen to be doing. So my experience in all of my other teaching environments has really shaped where I am right now. And so learning a little bit about a classical environment, there's different ways that you can set up your classroom, but I want you to keep in mind first to have a traditional classroom, classical models to keep it clean and organized. So when you are creating an environment for learning and creating an environment for engagement, keep your classroom really welcoming. I like to see an environment that has curtains on the windows, maybe a little rocking chair, and then just real calm and quiet in there. I know a lot of, again, I have a public school background as well, but it seems like every single poster or learning anything that happens to be in the classroom is on the wall in a public classroom, public school classroom. Has anybody noticed that before? And you walk in and it's really, really exciting, but a little bit overwhelming. And so it's just a calm environment. So what we want to encourage you to do when we're showing you these things, keep in mind that we keep these things put away. And when we're bringing it, when we're about to teach on something, we'll go and we'll get it out and we'll use it for that purpose and then we'll put it back away. If it's something that a child needs to reference and they need to be referencing it for a longer period of time, we'll leave it out. But just keeping it relatively calm and organized in the classroom, their basic supplies, try to find ways to keep those organized and put away as well. So pencils and markers, depends on your classroom, but my classroom, we have desks and they have a little space inside. So my students know that nothing goes on their desk. They have a tub for each individual thing. So we have a tub for crayons and a tub for markers and a tub for their dry erase markers, whatever it happens to be doing. And so we will say, I'll say, okay, please get out your dry erase markers. They'll pull out that tub. They'll get out what they need and they put it back away. So it eliminates distraction. It eliminates overstimulation. I'm setting myself as a teacher up for success because I don't have to deal with keeping them engaged and fight with whatever they're seeing around them. Does that make sense? I'm also setting the children up for success as well. So those are kind of just classroom setup things that we wanted to cover, but that's not what we are here for, so that's why we're running through that. And I apologize if you're thinking that we're going really fast, but I promise the last part is the part we really want to get to. So, Kimmy Thomas, you're passing out papers. We're ready to show them stuff. Yes. So I'll just start, and then when she's done, she can come back down here. Okay. So a lot of the things that we're going to show you are things that you can purchase. But as a teacher, I know sometimes, I know myself, we have a limited budget, right? And even if we don't have a limited budget, it's always being resourceful to make things. So we're going to show you things that are purchased, but we're also going to give you some ideas of things that you can make or your students can make as well to make it more interactive in the classroom.
A little earlier we talked about when we start out our teaching program, we spend 6 weeks on the 26 letters, the first consonants. So we teach the sound, just the consonant sound, and how to write the letter, uppercase and lowercase. So we have a variety of things that we choose to work with the kids, different manipulatives. So we have several different puzzles, but I brought my alphabet train. We add one every day so the kids can go ahead and bring that. And then at the end of the week, we review everything that we've done for that week, each letter. I have these wonderful Scholastic books. There's a letter, a little story for each letter. You can order these online. The kids enjoy these, and they like to pull those out during the week also and just kind of look at those. I told you about Victory Drill. We use the Victory Drill book as soon as we start combining short vowels and consonants, they start reading. They start putting the sounds together, and we do that with our Victory Drill. It's just a great, easy resource to use for your short vowels and then later on your long vowels. Carrie and I each have a set of alphabet carpet squares. We do not use carpet squares in circle time except when we're teaching consonants. So there's so many different things you can do with these. Plus, I have the bean bags. So we toss bean bags. They can go ahead and match the bean bags to the carpet squares. I brought the short ones, the short vowels, but I have the whole set. So we use those also. Has anybody ever seen these tubs from Lakeshore? Does everybody have access to Lakeshore Learning? Y'all know what that, yeah, you can order online. We have several here in the area. These little tubs have little toys. And inside it's the letter, and then it gives you the name of all the little toys inside there. We do everything from treasure chest to little, oh, Terry, where's your box? This box right here. She has, this is full of the same little items, so the kids like to pull out one and circle timer in the morning. Terry and I, our kids always meet together in the morning, and we do, we start the day with prayer, catechism, our memory, and then we go right into phonics and we do review. So we use this also in our circle time, and this is a lot of fun. The kids really like these. I don't let them play with them in center time just because I want to keep my set together, and they're not cheap. But anyhow, we love these. The kids like these.
All right, so back to a couple of things that, and again, these might be things that you've already seen, but possibly not. So these are simple paper plates. And so what I do, depending on where we are in learning the letters of the alphabet at that time, they'll each get a paper plate, and I typically have pre-cut it for them. But they will write each letter of the alphabet, and sometimes just depending on spacing, you'll do extra letters. So, you know, double up on the ones that are more tricky, like a G and a P and a B and a D, things that are a little bit more confusing. But you will stand in front of them and you will say, or you'll do it in circle time, and you would say, get your blue crayon and color the blue. And then they can do that. And you could, once you get all of them colored in some form, you could say, now fold down the I. Fold down the I. And so they'll do that type of thing. And it's just kind of fun. It's something that they can have. They can color it the middle themselves. When they're done with it, they can take it home, whatever. But we keep those in our desk as well. And when there's downtime, I'll pull those out and we'll give them something to do. So, and that's, you know, very inexpensive.
And that's how we use Alphabet Apple also. So you all have an Alphabet Apple. This is great for bingo. I just get out pinto beans, dried pinto beans, and use these. Or just being able to pull out different colors at the beginning of the year. Some of them that still do not, aren't confident with their colors. So we'll tell them, you know, get your brown crayon and put an X on the sound, or one, like C1 or yeah, or so if that's something you can use too later on in the year when you start combining it with short vowels, you can have them spell words, like find the act, and then they can start finding words. So we gave you one of these also.
For those of you that teach first and second grade, understanding, of course, at this point that they know the sounds of their letters, they are able to form words together. Rhetoric and logic, I'm sorry, I hope by now they're able to accomplish those types of things. If not, send them back to kindergarten. We'll take them again. But a lot of the things that we're showing you, maybe they aren't dressed as you see them applicable to what you're doing, but understand that you can tweak them a little bit. So maybe for if you're learning specific sight words, so we call them rule breakers in our class, but if you could use those on the apple, or on the, well, you could make your own apple with sight words, but you could also do sight words on the plate instead of just letters or something like that. Just trying to tweak it to what you're specifically learning at this point.
We play mailman in class, and the kids enjoy this. I have a big pocket chart up on the board, and then I have a box of these easy consonants. They are consonants. There's also short vowels and long vowels. And then I have square letters that we have each day we learn a letter. And then I'll go through and pass out, and there's a nice stack of each consonant. And I'll give them to them, and I'll say, okay, now it's time to go mail your card. So they'll look at the picture. We look at the balloon because we're still working on sounds, the buh, buh, buh. And then they'll go stick it in the pocket chart under the right consonant. So they love doing this, and actually they want to have the more cards. You know, I'll walk through the rows of the desks, and I'll just pass them out. But that's also a fun thing. It's a visual. It's a move-around thing. And the more we do that, the kids enjoy that. And it also helps them identify their letters.
In the morning for circle, maybe like an icebreaker type of an activity you can do with your students is this apple, apple chant. And it says, apple, apple, nice and round, pick an apple, make it sound. And so they walk around, and I usually have a basket, and I'll put some raffia in the basket just to make it look, it's an actual apple basket. And we'll put these inside there, and they get to choose an apple, and they'll say the sound, and then they pass the basket to the next child. So that's also something that could be done. I'll come up with a rhyme, something that's not round and sound, but if you're doing a sight word or something, you could come up with that, a chant that,
that would be applicable to what you're working on. Okay. So this is also Lakeshore, but you can easily make one of these as well. This is a game where they draw a card. You lay all of the cards down on the floor, and they draw a card, and you have a couple different options. Depending on what their word is, their card, one side of the card has the word written out. The other side just has the picture. So depending on where you are in learning your phonetic sounds, if they have not if they are not putting sounds together on their own at this point, you would show them the side that has the letters. If they are, then you would show them the side that does not have the letters. And then they can either, A, step on the letters to form the word, or maybe use a bean bag if you're wanting to increase the longevity of your mat. You would use a bean bag where they would toss it on the letters. And that's something that they can do in a large group or they can do it on their own. I know that I have children of various abilities in my class that some get done with their work so quickly, and I'm always needing to find something to do to keep them busy. So that would be an activity I would have them do while other children are still completing their assignments. The nice thing about having a partner, how many of you have a teaching partner? Okay. Oh, not a lot of y'all. Well, okay. Anyhow, Terry and I, what we share everything. So it's kind of nice if you spend the time making something, then we go back and forth with it. But Terry and I, and of course, I know that y'all have seen something like this where you have you're fishing for letters or sounds and the children have to read them. You can find them with magnetic pieces on the back. And then we found this at the dollar store and the kids they fight over it, which isn't good, but it comes with a little fish and then you can put words or vowels in the middle and the boys have more fun with it. But of course, if you don't find a cute plastic one, which like I said, the dollar store has some nice, they're fun things that we can use. Terry just made one, so we trade back and forth on those. And then when the student picks they have to read it, or you can just do consonants or vowels. So that's also a fun thing that we use. I love this. Tell them what you found here.
Okay. So I love making things that are free. So this is from the post office. Yeah, I've got one. So this is one of our freebies, too. From the post office, you can simply go get these. These are free. Yay. Now, I'm sure that the purpose of these is for mailing things, and that's what they want you to do with them. But I'm a kindergarten teacher, so I find other purposes for things. So you go and get one of these. They're free mailer boxes.
Different sizes. You can get the real big ones. There's me and those of you that use them to mail. You know that there's different sizes. So depending on what you're going to use it for in your classroom, that's cool.
So what I've done is I've put them together and then I've just left one side open and cut off the remaining part. And then I've assembled them together with loads of packaging tape. And then we take these little clips. And this one is short vowel. So I have one clip per short vowel and I will clip them on the end of each of these little compartments. And so that's when you would use picture cards, or you could use the little critters that are inside the alphabet tubs, etc. And plastic letters, yeah, like the magnetic letters, and let them file or mail their thing, their item, into the correct mailbox. So this is one of five, or these are five together. So for vowels, we have one for long vowels and we have one for short vowels. But I also assembled one, I just didn't bring it, that it has all 26. So it's really big and it's every letter of the alphabet and they get to mail whatever it happens to be into that. So for first and second grade teachers, think about maybe your unit studies or whatever you can think of that's adaptable. But to use these, we also use them. I use them for book storage, and the kids have their individual reader books, and so they will file them in their own little space. So,
freebie.
Yay.
Yeah. She had it on her desk, and she had them filed by color, and I went, now that's another great idea, too. So she goes, well, where are yours? I said, they're in my closet. She made me a set. They're in my closet. But then I went and got them, and our phonics readers are color-coded, so we use these also. So, yeah, she brought several of them over there to give away to y'all. So that's awesome. All right. How many of y'all have done this? The paint and bag. Only three people? Five people. Okay, there's a few more hands. this is a lot of fun. Kids love doing this. If you don't want to put sand on your desk or shaving cream on your desk,
You put the paint in the bag.
Really, really well. I think you taped this.
I did.
She's like, I'm taping that. But you fill it with paint or shaving cream. So if you're on a budget, use shaving cream. This has paint and shaving cream, and you can see it still stay purple very, very well. But this is when they're learning, you know, to actually write out the letters. They can write, and then they just push it. And they love having one of these at their desk. They do wear out. So I actually recommend, you know, actually taping to reinforce all of the corners. But I've had, I mean, a set will last me a full year as long as the kids understand the beginning to be respectful. And
No scissors.
No fingernails.
No eating. But you know what else? This is also fun wise time. So the kids like to do that for wise time too. All right. What else have you got?
Okay. So now we'll move into long balls and short balls. This is another thing that you can make super easy. These are two paper plates that I've just cut the bumpy part off. Yeah, just the center. And I've bratted. Is that a word? It is now. I've bratted them together. And you'll see that those are short vowel words that are written there. But I left on the back plate, there is a little tab. I'm sorry, Kim.
Sorry.
There's a little tab that I've left. Okay, and so that is how they change from short vowel words. Hope everybody can see that. They change from short vowel words, so we add the E on the end, and now they're long vowel words. So we're taking, we're just making it more tangible for the children to see that all you have to do is add the silent E or the magic E, depending on what you call it, to the end. To the word, and it magically becomes a long vowel word. So again, just a plate, just two simple plates, but leave a tab on one of them to fold over. So the kids like to make these as well. Another thing that Kim is holding, this is the magic spoon game, if any of you have seen these. So these, a lot of what we're showing you right now can be things that the children work with independently. For wise time, that's what I call it, wise time bags. When you're done with what you've been assigned, you grab a wise time bag. But this is the magic spoon, and so it gives you all sorts of short vowel words. You can do long vowel words. You can do whatever, but you add spoon to the beginning of each word or the end of the word if it's a long vowel word, and it becomes a word.
The kids really do like these. They'll grab these, and they'll play with them, and don't let them see you. Take some.
Tell me I'm not the only one that goes and takes these things. Are there any police officers in here?
So color code them. So that's really fun because the kids, they're color coded with the ending and the beginning sound. So I'll hold it.
Okay.
You show. So they open.
I know. Food level. They open up the ring, and they're allowed at their desk individually. They get to take these apart. And then the way that these will work is that they just run it behind, and it fills in the space and becomes words. Does that make sense? So I'll walk around if you want to.
We get into three-letter phonograms probably after Christmas. So she put her ung, ing, ong, ang, ung, ang, ong several times. Yeah, but that really helps the kids practice on those ending sounds. And they love them. And then we just let them go get them on their own. So it's a wise time bag. And again, it's really cheap, inexpensive, and fun. And it's fun. This is similar. So I'm moving the clip. Terry's got these colored all so cute. But you wouldn't have to do that if you didn't want to. But moving the clip up and down on the consonants, and then you could have them sound out the words. This is also fun for circle time. And it's also a good way for you to kind of see where your students are in terms of using their sounds. Where, you know, do they understand their short vowel sounds? Are they doing their ending sounds? And how they're doing on their beginning consonant sounds. So, and they like it.
And they love to work as partners with this game, too, I find. And you can do these blank and let the kids make their own, which is also really fun and exciting to see what they come up with. It's really a lot of fun. This is one of our giveaways, too. I have to admit, most of our giveaways are, like, dollar store things. So who doesn't like free giveaways, right? This one actually did. I mean, this is a pretty good one. So this is a popcorn game. And these are sight words. So this would be more first grade, second grade, or the end of kindergarten type of a thing. But it's you empty the bag in the popcorn, and it's messy. You grab it, and they get to throw it in the air, and they land all over the place. And then as you pick up the popcorn, you say the word. There's all sorts of different games that actually come in there, and it'll tell you different ways that you can play. But it is actually for geared at a first, second grade level, but we do play it sometimes in our classroom. This is another sight word thing. This is super easy to make as well. So these are just shells that I've made, and I'll get a tub. Kim has a tub of sand. And I will place these shells in the sand. And so the kids pretend that they're at the beach and they're pulling out. This is something they'll do in twos or threes and just test each other on sight words. This one's really fun. This is watercolor paper. So have the students, or you can do it. Yeah, it's thick. It's the sturdy kind. You write the words or have the kids write the words, but it's more fun if you do it ahead of time the first time so they don't know what to expect. Write the words with white crayon, and then they get to sit at their desk, and then they get to watercolor their paper, and magically the sight words appear, and so they think that's really cool. So the first time you do it, I would encourage you, like I said, to do it. You do it ahead of time, but if you choose to do it more times, they like to write them themselves and see what they come up with. Okay, so this one's really fun, but I forgot my Nerf gun. So this, I typically make these red and white, and I will put them on a big piece of poster board. And then the kids get to stand, 10 feet away with a Nerf gun and Nerf dart gun and shoot it. And whatever it sticks to, they have to say that word. And then they'll go back to the back of the line and take turns shooting the sight words. That's a big, big hit. Yes. Okay.
I was just going to see if y'all had any questions about the handouts in your packet. We have included a couple of things in there, things that you can use in your classroom. We talked a little bit about Alphabet Apple. And I think, did everybody get the, you guys got the Trivium stages? Did we run out, Regina? Oh, okay. Regina has some back there. So I wanted to make sure that you... Oh, sorry. We didn't get those. Dictation is a real important part of what we do in phonics. Like I said, it's pulling it all together, and it's showing you if your student is understanding what you're teaching with the letters and the sounds. And if you'll look in your packet... Oh, thank you.
Two options. One is the handmade Terry version, but this is where you would dictate a sentence to them, perhaps, and then let them illustrate afterward. And then there's also one that is a little bit smaller, and these would probably be single word dictation, and then they would illustrate as well.
Yes, you could use your short vowels or long vowels, whichever you wanted. I really liked that one because that's going to be okay. Okay, and we can always make more. Yeah. That's right. Thank you. These are on our Grace Academy website. Our curriculum instruction director, she printed those right off for me from there. So it's a good resource for you to always remember whatever you're implementing in your phonics program. It fits into that first stage of the Trivium, and I think that's important. And that's what we've tried to pull together. So songs and chants. How many of you do chanting? So a lot of them, where are you getting your chants from? We use, I'll tell you, because I don't know if we even put it on, we use Sing, Spell, Read, and Write. Do any of you use Sing, Spell, Read, and Write, the CD? The kids love it. And there's a variety of songs on there. What else? What else do y'all use? Just shout it out. Spalding? Okay. How many of you use Spalding? Quite a few. How about Johnny Can Read? A few. Yeah? How many of you are looking for other phonics programs you like? How many of you do Saxon? Okay. Yeah, a lot of Saxon. There's not a lot of the chants and the singing. You have to make up your own. Yeah, you're nodding back there. You have to make up your own with Saxon. I do like Saxon, and they're not colorful visuals. So that's where we add a lot of colorful things. And the Sing, Spell, Read, and Write has the colorful visuals. They have the posters. They have some songs. They have some chants for you to use. We've made up a few. We put some on the front of the page here for y'all, the A-E-I-O-U. But almost every single time we learn a new phonogram or we do the vowels or the consonants, we teach a song. We teach a song or a chant. And if it's something Terry and I made up, or we'll pull something off of that Sing, Spell, Read, and Write, because that's an important part of the Pull Parrot stage. That's what we do. And I know that there doesn't seem to be one perfect phonics program, but if you pull together some of your resources, you'll find something that will, you'll be able to teach whatever kind of learner you have. Oh, go ahead. Preschool prep. Oh, YouTube. Preschool Prep Company. I had not heard that one. So write that one down if you're needing to find something else that helps supplement with you, with your program for the singing and the chanting. What else are y'all using out there? Yeah, what you guys do?
Do you have other ideas that you use in your classroom that have been really successful? Specifically things you've made or come up with on your own? Flashcards, perhaps?
No. Like, each kid has a set, and several of them, like E and O, are going to be double.
Okay.
But their alphabet and an Aggie.
Okay.
And then we do making words, and so you can, like...
Kind of like Scrabble, maybe. Okay. So they have alphabet cards. Okay. Right. That's awesome. You know what? I just thought of something. The Dollar Tree has alphabet cookies. They are cookies. They're shortbread cookies. They're in little squares. They look like Scrabble tiles. And I did that one time. I sat and separated the whole entire box. I pulled all the vowels out, and then I pulled all the consonants out. So I sat there, and then I gave each student some consonants. Yeah, we eat them, but not yet. Then we had consonants, and I gave them each one vowel. And then I said, what word did you make with your vowel? And so that, and then I gave them another vowel. And I had enough because I had 12 students this last year. They stayed very engaged. They loved it. Of course, they knew we were going to eat them at the end. But it's $1 for a box of cookies. And, you know, Cheez-Its do the same thing. I can't find alphabets anymore. Oh, no.
This is also if you have, like, a water table, or you can just make your own little bucket of water type of thing. Float these little ducks. And then we have stickers, but obviously if they get wet too often, you can write it directly on the plastic as well with a Sharpie, and they get to pick the ducks up and create words with the ducks that they found. Same with this magnet board. Kim uses this a lot too. So you can use your own magnet letters, or you can make your own too, where they make create words with the letters that they're given on their magnet board.
So it's just aluminum cookie sheets from Walmart. So it's not really expensive, and boys love magnets. Girls do too, but boys love magnets. Any questions? Yes. For their eraser. Awesome. That's
That's a good one. Yeah, sheet protectors. I know you can buy 100 for. Yes, put those for your for your dictation. That's right. That's a good idea too for your math facts. Yeah. Yes. Okay, hold on, Lori. Lori, mini, avalanche letters. Mini alphabet avalanche. Did y'all get that? Just in case. Okay. That's a good idea. Your rule breakers. Do y'all call them rule breakers or sight words? Raise your hand if you call it a sight word. Do you like rule breakers? Well, guess what we do with our rule breakers? We put them in jail. And then they go to the timeout chair because they are breaking the rules. And you don't want to. And I'll tell you, the kids are like, oh. I'll hold up a rule breaker and I'll walk over to the board. They're like, oh no. But they remember. They remember that's a rule breaker. It doesn't fit into our phonics. Have other ideas? That's a good question. At Grace Academy, we have 5 days. We offer 5 days of kindergarten, but our core is in the morning. We start at 8:15, so it's 8 to noon. Optional. If you're a parent and you would like your student there all day, they can sign up for our optional enrichment. And so Terry and I both teach all day. And enrichment does not teach core, which is our math and our history and our science and our phonics. But we work a lot with that in the afternoon. We kind of just pull that through the day. And we also can pull a child aside that needs a little extra help. But in the afternoon, we offer literature, geography, science. This year we're doing a PE program. We did Latin last year. It was kind of a trial on Latin with the kids, but just some other things that just are fun. So our kindergarten program is half day with the option of going full day for enrichment.
And we have two separate classrooms. So Kim has a classroom and I have a classroom. So other than getting together for circle time and things like that or recess, we're separate in the morning, but in the afternoon, the kids are typically together, and we team teach in the afternoon.
Yes.
So cute. I love that idea. If you didn't hear what she said, when her kindergarten teacher is introducing blends, she'll have one student with like a name tag or maybe just a flashcard, something like that, with one letter, and then another friend that has another letter, and they hold hands together, and then they make that sound, that individual sound together. That actually goes along with one of our chants that we do. Yes, exactly. You could do that. We have a song that says, a blend is made of two consonant friends, two consonant friends, two consonant friends. A blend is made of two consonant friends that are seen and heard together. So that'd be super cute. I'm going to steal that idea. Yay me. It's a problem. Afterward, we're going to have an opportunity for you to pray with me over in this corner. That's cute. That's a great idea. Smack each other. Okay, so now we can sing. Oh, yeah. Okay, so get your little tickets out. This is actually, I was trying to go really quickly, so we made sure we got everything in, and I went so quickly we got everything in. So But we do have our little, oh, there it is, Kim. So we have 18 giveaways. Yay! So the way this is going to work, we're going to call numbers. I'm just going to call, or Kim is, the last three numbers, because the first three are all the same for all of y'all. So the last three numbers, and then when your number is called, you can just come up and you can pick one item over there. The only thing that's multiple things are the mailbox things. Yeah, I gave you, I stole five. They're free. I love teaching. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Is that just the last three numbers?
The last three.
516. This is so exciting. Yes, and I love enthusiasm.
Unless there's two that jump up at the same time, I think we're good.
That would be weird. All right, 562.
But we need to make sure we only do 18.
Yeah. Hopefully, there's stuff there that y'all can use. Okay. We got to keep track to make sure we don't, because I think we got 100 in here. All right. Okay, I'm not going to look this time.
Oh, she got the good one. She got the big ticket item.
Ah,
there's no cruises.
No.
Or TVs.
No. All right, 569.
All right, yay.
All righty. 502.
Oh, that was exciting.
That was a good one.
Okay. Did you feel that? Like,
I know, I was hesitating. Yeah. I thought I'd watch you guys. Now I gotta take a break. Hold on. Okay.
Oh.
570.
Woo!
Okay. Too bad we're not giving you all of our phonics. Wouldn't that be awesome? They just give you all this. Then we wouldn't have anything to teach.
We wouldn't have to take it home though either.
We wouldn't have to take it home. We don't have far to drive. Okay. 518.
She's a winner.
Woo! She's a winner. Okay. 574.
Oh. No?
Nobody? All right,
oh,
here.
We got it. Okay.
Sorry. I'm trying to pick good ones. Okay. 565.
Yay. Okay. Is that one of our rhetoric teachers?
Ah! All right.
Oh.
Ah. Oh, my God. Wow. She's talented.
I can barely.
I can do that one.
after teaching all day.
I'm glad she won something.
That's good. Okay. I kind of need a bottle of wine.
Yeah. We didn't bring that. We didn't bring that. Okay.
My boss is in the bed.
Hi, Karen. All right. 517.
Yay! I've lost count.
Yeah?
I think we're...
Okay.
There's still some stuff left. I was doing one job.
Okay. 560.
Yay.
Oh, this is a pretty tough
one. This is pretty. Okay. Sure.
Okay. All right. 563.
Yep. Okay. Do you have anything left?
Good. Gosh, we got a lot of stuff. Good for us. All right. 540. 540? 540? 540? There she is.
Oh, there we go.
531. This one's 525.
Okay, good. And
nobody has taken the boxes.
I can't believe it.
I wouldn't. You'd go get your own for free.
Just go to the post office. I love it.
And they're kind of hidden. They're kind of towards the back, so they don't.
No one sees you take them.
Oh, she didn't have them.
Yay! Special round of applause for the free stolen boxes.
I thought you were gonna get one.
Oh yeah. Oh, see, that was a bonus. I was keeping it quiet. If you took that, you get this.
$4.90.
Yay! Okay, how many things do we have left over there? I've lost. I lost count. My hands are clean, except for all the paint chips. I love it when people can justify my behavior.
Okay, here we go. 522. Yay, 522. Okay. 513. 513. Okay. 572. Okay. Okay.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming. I hope you had fun.
I think I call one more. Did we call one more?
Oh, we get to call one more. Oh, this is so exciting. You thought it was over and just keeps going. 582. Yep, we got a winner. All right, thank you guys. Have a good evening.